Some gods throw thunderbolts. Others inspire love, rage, or wisdom. But beyond them all, older than Olympus itself, there is a power that not even Zeus can escape. Her name is Ananke. She is necessity, inevitability, the iron law that governs gods and mortals alike. She is not a goddess of festivals or shrines. Few prayed to her. Many feared her, yet she haunts the background of Greek thought, appearing in myth, philosophy, and drama as the unyielding force that binds all beings in bonds both visible and invisible. Today we explore Ananke, the stern goddess of necessity and bonds. She is the one who compels, who constrains, who fastens chains around mortals and gods alike. And though few loved her, none could resist her. Ananke's very name means necessity. She is a primordial goddess who rules compulsion, restraint, and coercion. She presides over all forms of bondage, the ties of prison and slavery, but also the subtler bonds of kinship, friendship, and love. For the Greeks, whenever someone was cast into prison, whenever chains were fastened, her name was evoked. She is the goddess behind all bonds. Once an attachment is formed, Ananke ensures that consequences necessarily follow, her might allowing no resistance. Some called her a great goddess with a stern law, unbearable in the words of poets. For her dominion is experienced most sharply in the physical world, the hunger of a body, the inevitability of aging, the weight of death. In the Orphic cosmogonies, Ananke appears with her consort Kronos, or Time. Together they take the form of great serpents coiled around the cosmic egg. Their pressure cracks it open, releasing the ordered universe. Here, Ananke is not only the bearer of limits, but the very force that makes creation possible. She compels the universe into being. Greek drama reveals the lived reality of Ananke's power, bonds both physical and moral. In Aeschylus's Prometheus Bound, Hephaestus laments as he chains Prometheus to the rocks, saying, "O handicraft that I hate so much, yet Kratos, power, reminds him that no one is free except Zeus." Hephaestus concedes, "I know it by this task. I cannot deny it." Both prisoner and warden are bound. This is the paradox of Ananke. Her bonds tie captor and captive alike. Euripides too shows her power in Iphigenia, in Aulis. Agamemnon must choose between breaking his promise to the army or sacrificing his daughter. Both choices are evil, yet necessity forces him to decide. He cries out, "To what cruel straits have I been plunged? A god has outwitted me." This is Ananke. Even when choice is compelled, when freedom collapses into inevitability. And Homer reminds us that even cowards can be forced into bravery when positioned in battle lines with no way to flee. In the Iliad, Nestor arranges his men so that shirkers are trapped between horsemen and infantry, compelled by the necessity to fight. Here too, Ananke binds behavior through circumstance. Plato gives Ananke a central cosmic role. In the Republic, in the myth of Air, he imagines Ananke enthroned in the heavens, holding the spindle of the cosmos. At her knees sit her daughters, the Morai, singing of past, present, and future. With every turn of the spindle, the stars and spheres revolve. In Timaeus, he writes that the world is formed by nous, divine reason, persuading Ananke, necessity, into harmony. Ananke here is not chaos. She is the raw inevitability reason must work with. The Stoic philosopher Epictetus later advised that since no one can escape her law, wisdom lies in accepting it. He counseled, "If a man persuades himself to accept of his own accord what must befall him, he will have a reasonable and harmonious life." In this way, philosophers turn Ananke from a terror into a teacher. Ananke's kingdom is the physical world, where bodies are bound to hunger, sickness, and death. Philosophers sometimes call the body the prisoner of the soul, for it is fettered by necessity. She is often named the mother of the Morai, or the Fates, and linked to the Erinnes, the avengers of blood. For what is necessary is not only death, but also punishment for those who break sacred bonds. Yet her rule is double-edged. Just as love and friendship bind, so do contracts, duties, and even the gifts of fortune. Freedom, some argued, is found only in the reducing of these bonds, stripping life back to simplicity. Epictetus advised, "Do not say to yourself that things are necessary, and they will not be." To refuse to cling is in its way to honor Ananke. No one truly loved Ananke. There were no great festivals in her name, yet she could not be ignored. Prometheus himself, chained to the Caucasus, admitted, "I must bear my allotted doom as lightly as I can, knowing that the might of necessity permits no resistance." Even Zeus was not free of her law. For the Greeks, the greatest power in the cosmos was not a god's will, but the inevitability that Ananke represented. To resist her was futile. To accept her was wisdom. They say that beyond the heavens, upon a throne of black stone, sits Ananke. Around her, the stars themselves circle, bound to her spindle. At her feet sing her daughters, the Fates, chanting what has been, what is, and what will be. A mortal once asked her, "Why do you bind us so tightly? Why do you chain the gods themselves to your will?" And Ananke replied, but not with words, with silence, because necessity does not argue. It simply is. And when the mortal returned to life, they carried this knowing that the beauty of existence comes not from escaping limits, but from moving gracefully within them. Ananke is the goddess of bonds, chains, duties, laws, love, and time. She is feared, resisted, ignored, but always obeyed. She births the cosmos with Kronos. She rules the Morai. She sets the boundaries even Zeus cannot cross. In our world, she still whispers. In gravity, in mortality, in the responsibilities that shape our lives, she reminds us that freedom is not found in breaking every bond, but in recognizing them and choosing how to live within them. So tonight, if you find yourself beneath the stars, imagine Ananke encircling the heavens with her serpent coils, spinning the spindle of fate. Remember, she is the fabric of existence itself, the bonds that shape your story.